Thanks very much, Andrea. And if we can turn back in the Bibles to Psalm 127. It's on page 634 in the church Bibles. Probably a similar page number if you've brought your own Bible along. And it's another short psalm in this series we're having through the summer holidays. Psalm 127. It's the sort of short section of the Bible that could easily be misunderstood or made to mean something other than its God-given message. It does seem to me that some people these days seem to delight in taking a text and then inventing their own meaning for it, as though it's okay to do such a thing. But that's not how the Bible works. That's not how God's word is meant. God gives us clues to grasp the message. Read the clues right, take the text seriously, and we start to get to the right message, the message that was intended by the writer to the hearer. And then we can get the message for us. So let's spot the clues which we're given for Psalm 127. First, the title, which is part of the text, A Song of Ascents of Solomon. A Song of Ascents means it was a song they sang on the trip up to Jerusalem and back. It was a festival song. I guess like we have favourite songs at Christmas time or Easter time or harvest time. This was one of the ones they sang at pilgrimage time, holiday time, for the festivals in Jerusalem. And then of Solomon means that it was to do with King Solomon. He may have written it. He wrote lots, Proverbs, one or two other books like Ecclesiastes and Song of Songs, so why not? But it's to do with Solomon, which makes sense, because when you look at what's in the psalm, you recognize the links. Solomon had a big building project on in Jerusalem. The temple was built in his lifetime. That was his job. So a psalm about unless the Lord builds the house makes sense. And Solomon had big family issues. Some caused by David, his father. Some of his own making. But certainly a second half to the psalm addressing family issues makes sense too. So those clues are helping. Any more clues? Well, yes, let's look at the psalm before and after. This sort of context often helps as well. The one before starts, Psalm 126, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion. And then halfway through verse 4 says, restore our fortunes, O Lord. So it's a psalm which is based on Zion. That's the name of the main hill in Jerusalem. And then the one after, Psalm 128, this too is about being in Jerusalem. Can you see in verse 5? The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem. Also about being in Jerusalem and knowing God's generosity there. So the clues are putting together a clear picture. It's about Jerusalem from the viewpoint of King Solomon. That helps us understand what it was saying originally and therefore what it's saying to us. Now let's look at the psalm, the text. And can you see the first half of the text is about work issues? Solomon probably mulling over the challenge of building the temple, musing on all sorts of issues, work issues. Here's what it says. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, the guard keeps watch in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest. eating the bread of anxious toil. For he gives sleep to his beloved. We can put in so much effort, a lot of hard graft. We can work all the hours, burn the candle at both ends, and it's not worth it. Solomon is a faithful man of God at this time of his life anyway, and he knows. If God's not in it, it won't be worth all the toil, all the worry. When we build something, and he was planning to build an impressive structure, often when we build something, often when we're working on something, we think we're the ones in control. But this psalm's a reminder. We're not. God is. And unless the Lord builds it, unless the Lord guards it, it's really not worth all the effort. So what's this saying to us? Is it saying, don't work hard? No. I think it's assuming that we do work hard. And it's implying that God works hard. So if we follow God, we will be workers. But it's also saying, do not work hard and ignore God. Don't trust in your own efforts. Don't do your own thing and assume God will get in line afterwards behind you. No, things don't work like that. Work hard, but humbly recognize that God is the one who calls the shots before, during, and after. I think so often we humans can get so proud about our work, so attached to our work, thinking we're the ones that call the shots, when we would do so much better to humble ourselves before God. Work hard and recognize that God is the one who calls the shots. And then the second lesson here is work hard and rest well. Too many in our world are working themselves into the ground. And that's not what God wants for his people. God loves us. He works 6 sensible days on, 1 full day off. Because rest matters. And we are made in God's image. So we do well to work 6 sensible days on and have good rest. Because it's good. It's good for us. And it's good to do. It's human. It's God's loving way for all of us. Do not overwork. Work and rest is God's way for us. So Solomon learnt the lessons as he tackled the big building project in his life, the temple in Jerusalem, and lots of others repeated the lessons as they sang their way to Jerusalem and back. I guess if you were a tourist in Jerusalem up for the festival, it must have been so easy to be rather too impressed by all the building. And this song would have been an antidote to that. A reminder of what we need to be impressed with is the Lord. Because unless the Lord builds a house, unless the Lord guards the city, then it's not worth anything. So do not work hard and ignore God. God wants us to work well and rest well. They go together. Now, the psalm's not just about work issues, it's also about family issues. And here the clue's in the first line, because the word house has a double meaning. Unless the Lord builds the house, means a building, yes, but house also means family. It's a bit like the House of Windsor is the royal family. And so what is Psalm 127 saying about family issues? Well, we get these three verses at the end. Sons are indeed a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the sons of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Need to be careful about what this is saying and not saying too, because it's an issue, like lots of family issues, that are quite loaded and have a profound effect, for good or ill, in our hearts and minds. I once knew a woman who had a baby, and her main thought afterwards was how clever she was to have a child. And it really jarred as she went around telling people about the birth and how clever she was. Psalm 127 sees it differently to that woman. It's quite clear here that children are a gift from God, like an inheritance. We can't rely on an inheritance. It's given to us by somebody. We can't claim it as a right if it's not given to us by the person who's giving it. That's how inheritances work, for good or ill. So children are a gift from God. We don't deserve them. It's not because we're clever. A child is a gift, a return from the Lord's hand. Actually, it's not a very good translation to say a reward, which is what it says in verse 3b here, because the phrase is part of the notion of a relationship, not a remuneration. That's the nature of the... So a return within a relationship is more the meaning of what's said. And the truth is, whatever God wishes to offer, we can receive. It's not down to us. We'd like to think we're the ones with the power, we're the ones in control, but that's not how to see it. All sorts of gifts are God's to give, and children are a gift from God. I often hear in our society that children are some sort of right to be claimed, but that's not a good thought either. Children are a gift. That's the right way to think, to be received if given. These things are important. Getting things wrong can result in so much hurt upon hurt. Getting things right can be a great help, even in hurt. It goes on to describe that children can bring great benefits. In Solomon's times, sons were a big help with personal protection if others were endangering us in our later years. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the sons of one's youth. Children do have their uses. And in verse 5, happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Sons and children were a big help if people were taking us to court. It was in the city gate that court proceedings used to happen in ancient times. It's there that enemies used to meet to see if they could see a peaceable way forward. And it helps to have relatives to stick up for us if we're in those sort of difficult situations. Children can bring great benefits, can be such a precious gift. But let's be honest, children can also bring trouble. They are to be regarded as a gift, and a gift which often needs a lot of care. And I have great admiration for parents who show that they have received their child as a gift and go the extra mile to care well. So, this second half of the psalm, family issues, such big issues in so many of our lives, for good or ill. Now, Solomon ended up having 300 wives, so he will have had a lot of family issues. And so I guess he and others will have found this sort of teaching helpful. And even as he ignored God's teaching about marriage, being between one woman and one man, let's hope that he helped build the house of David by following his own wisdom, at least in these respects, in Psalm 127, the happy way to receive children, as a gift, as a fortunate return. So, this was one of those short songs that they sang on the way up to Jerusalem while they were there, and on the way back probably as well. And songs aren't just for emotions. They're also for reminders. Especially these short, pithy songs. Reminders of truths which we need to keep close to our hearts, in amongst all the issues of life. Work issues, family issues. Psalm 127, a wise, helpful reminder. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Please help us to take it to heart, that it might be truth that builds us up in the difficult issues of life. Truth that is reminded to our minds and our hearts when we face all sorts of issues, to help us through as you wish to help us. We pray in your name. Amen.